الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Over the last few nights, we've been discussing the topic of Iman in the Quran. And with the help of a very nice and very useful resource, which is a book that has been compiled from the lectures of Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizahullah, on this topic, we've learned some very important and fundamental concepts regarding Iman. Iman is something that we all claim to have, belief, faith. But from the Quranic perspective, having faith is not just believing something in our hearts. A few of the different things we've learned about how the Quran describes true Iman and true mu'mineen are, number one, that a true mu'min is somebody who believes and then puts his or her belief into a practical commitment. Now, what type of practical commitment? It's a commitment which is constant and consistent. It's not something which is where when it's something which is appealing to them, when it's something that's easy for them, then they show that commitment. But when it's something which is hard and distasteful to them, they don't show that commitment. That was one thing that we learned. Another thing we talked about was this idea that belief has to be on the basis of thought, not on the basis of blind following or just hand-me-downs. Because this is the way that my community believes or my parents believe, that's why I believe. That type of faith is a faith which is not going to be stationary. It's not mustaqar, it's mustawda. It's something which is deposited and can easily be taken away. Now, in tonight's lecture, and inshallah tomorrow night's lecture, we want to cover the topic of the results of Iman. Meaning that from the Quranic perspective, if somebody has true Iman, Iman which goes along with a deep and unconditional commitment to put that belief into practice, then what are the results of this going to be? Meaning that what are they going to see? What are the fruits? What's in it for them? Why? Why is it important for us to learn what's in it for us if we have this Iman? Because, first of all, if we know this, first of all, if we know this, then we get motivated. Right? If we know what the results are of having true Iman, then, and those results are something which are nice and good, then we feel like increasing our Iman, strengthening our Iman, so we can also get those results. So it's for motivation, number one. And number two, it's so that we can check ourselves. Because we can use these results and see whether we have these or not. How much of them do we have? To what extent do we have them? And that's a way, it's a litmus test for us to see and to measure the strength of our Iman. Now, before we go into the first of these results, I want to make a point here that the author, he actually mentions 11 of these results. He looked at all of them from the Quran, and he summarized them into 11 distinct results that people get if they have real Iman. He says that these results are things that anybody would want. Whether they're a believer or they're not a believer, whether they're a Muslim or not a Muslim, there are some things that everyone in life is looking for. For example, everyone in life is looking for happiness. They want to be happy.
Okay, so everyone in life is for happiness. They want to be happy. Allah says that true happiness comes about from Iman. The more Iman we have, the happier we're going to be. And so on and so forth. All these results that he's going to discuss are things that anybody would want to have. Let's look at the first of these results, and that's from Surah Yunus, verse number 9. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Those who have iman and they have amal al-salih, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, they have good deeds. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. These are the ones who are guided by their Lord because of their iman. What is the result of iman that's being talked about in this verse? It's the result of hidayah or huda, the result of guidance. One of the things that somebody who has iman has is that they have something called guidance. They get to be guided. And what's it mean to be guided? Imagine that you're in some place, in some land, and you don't know where you are. Right? They just put you there. You don't know where to go, number one. And number two, even if you knew where to go, you don't know how to get there. At that point, what you really need is you need a guide to come and tell you, well, this is where you gotta go, and this is where you gotta get there. Guidance is that. Guidance from Allah is where we understand where to go and how to get there. Okay, Allah says in this verse that this is something that is given to those who have iman and have amal as-salih. Now this expression you must have seen in the Quran many times. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It's there tens of times in the Quran, if not close to 100 times. What does that mean? When we see this expression, how can we understand it? Well, based on what we've been talking about in the previous nights, what we can understand it to mean is that somebody who has iman and then somebody who has the necessary practical commitment to that iman. They put their iman into practice. And they show that iman in what they do. This is what's going to happen to them. They are going to be guided by their Lord. Now, what sort of guidance is this? Sometimes people ask this question. They say that, what does it mean for us to take a path towards Allah? And to reach Allah? Right? Because when I ask myself this question, what it means to get to Allah, well, all I know about is myself. And Allah is the creator, Allah is the Rabb. But what does it mean to have this journey towards Allah? It seems like something which is very vast and a very, very long journey. The author here gives a very beautiful example. He says that imagine that you are in a big, dark area. For example, let's say you go into a football field, like a big football field. And the stadium lights are off. It's completely dark. Now they put you there at one end of the field and they want you to get to the other field, but it's pitch dark. If it's pitch dark, obviously you're not going to get to the end of the other field because you won't know how to get there. If, however, somebody gives you a flashlight, they give you a flashlight, then with that flashlight, are you going to be able to see the whole stadium? No. You won't see to the other end of the stadium. You won't be able to see exactly the whole path from the beginning to the end, and you won't be able to see what it looks like at the other end. However, that flashlight itself is enough for you to get to the end. Because with the flashlight, it illuminates a certain area in front of you. So you follow that part, and then as you walk along, more of it gets illuminated, and more and more and more. You see, you don't need to see the whole path at once. All you need to do is be able to see a little bit, and you go forward and then you see more and more and more. That's the way. It's a very powerful analogy for how it is when it comes to spiritual guidance and being guided towards the purpose of our existence. For many of us, we are on stage one. What is stage one? Stage one is where, well, what we know is we have a deen, and in that deen it tells us that this is what's wajib and this is what's haram. And Allah tells us, do what's wajib and stay away from what's haram. If we do that, and if we commit ourselves to that, keeping in mind what we talked about last night, about having a complete commitment, then we will be guided to the next step. It's like we've gone forward with whatever light this flashlight has given us, and then we'll see that there's more beyond that. And more beyond that, eventually, until we get to the destination, which is being guided towards understanding and realizing the presence of Allah with our hearts. That's what the true destination is. Now, this process of being guided is something that all the people who have taken a path to Allah, they have taken a path of being guided along, and they've had a journey that they follow. Even our prophets as well too. What we understand from Ahadith and from the Quran is even our prophets were guided in their journey towards Allah. Even our prophet as well too. There's a very beautiful hadith which describes the type of guidance that our prophet went through. It says that when our prophet would go to Sham, he would travel to Syria for business, and then he would come back, then he would give in sadaqah, he would give in charity the excess from what he had gained from the caravan, from trading. And then he would every day go to the Mount Hira, the cave of Hira, and he would climb the mountain. And when he would get to the top, from the top of the mountain, he would look at the universe around him, and he would look at the signs of the mercy of Allah, and at the various wonders of His creation, and at the various manifestations of the wisdom of Allah. He would look at the skies, and he would look at the earth, he would look at the oceans, and the different beauties around him, and he would ponder upon the creation. He would ponder upon the creation of Allah, and then he would worship Him in the way that he ought to be worshipped. And after he had reached 40 years of age, Allah looked upon his heart, and He found it to be the best of hearts, and the most pure of them, and the most obedient of hearts, the most fearful of them, and the most humble of them. And that's when He permitted the doors of the sky to open up for him. And the Prophet saw them, and he permitted the angels to descend upon them, upon him, and the Prophet saw the angels. And he ordered that his special mercy be shown to the Prophet from the heavens, and the Prophet was shown the special mercy. And then Jibreel alayhi salam descended, and he met the Prophet as well too. And then the incident of the Mab'ath took place. Do you see here that in this hadith we're shown how the Prophet also had a journey where he also became more pure and pure. He was always pure, but even in that purity he also had a journey as well too. This is just one example of how Allah guides those who have iman, true iman, where they put their iman into practice as well. So we shouldn't expect. Sometimes people say that, you know what, all these stories of people like Ayatollah Lahjad and Imam Khomeini and all these great mystics and urafa, you know, those are people who are in a special class of their own. There's no way I can ever get to anything like what they had, and therefore I'm not going to even try. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to say that, no, my iman tells me that I have a certain responsibility to perform. I have to perform that responsibility in the best way possible. Inshallah, Allah will guide me to whatever it is that I have to be guided towards. That's the first verse. Now let's look at the next verse. This next verse is from Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 124. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يستبشرون. When a chapter of the Quran is revealed, when a surah is revealed, there were those who were the doubters, those who were the hypocrites, and they would say to the people, they would say that this chapter just came down from the Quran, did any of you increase in iman? Did any of you, now after this surah has been revealed, has any one of you developed your iman and has it gotten stronger? Allah says though, in response to that, that those who do have iman, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, for sure, their iman has increased because of the revelation of this surah, and not only that, they regard it as something which is a cause of delight, a cause of happiness. Because after all, it's the word of Allah. The Qur'an is the word of our Lord. We have to remember that. Whenever we go to the Qur'an, we have to remember that we're interacting with a miracle. This is Allah's speech to us. And Allah has told us that if we read the Qur'an and we have iman, it's going to increase our iman. This is something that we need to understand and we need to experience. If it's the case that when we come to the Qur'an, we don't feel anything, our iman doesn't increase, we don't get happy, then we should know that this is a sign to us, it's a warning to us that something is wrong here. If I'm sitting in these lectures and all I'm thinking about is what's coming for iftar, right? And you know, I'm distracted, I'm not focusing on the Qur'an itself, then I have to think, what's wrong with me? Right? I don't need to look at others, I need to ask what's wrong with myself. The way it's supposed to be for a believer is that the Qur'an is supposed to increase their iman every time they come back to it. We have some wonderful stories of people who have been guided by the Qur'an that I want to share with you tonight. One of them is a story of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, we mentioned him, I believe, last night. He was a famous companion, he was a student of the Qur'an, he was a student of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the king of the Qur'an. They say that he said the following. He says that لِأَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ وَرَمْتِلَهُمَا وَأَتَدَبَّرَهُمَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ هَذْرِمَةً. For me to read Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, but to read them properly, to read them in a way with tartib, meaning with proper tune, with pondering upon the meaning, without rushing through it, that is more beloved to me than to read the whole Quran, but to read it fast, without focusing on any of the meaning or anything like that. See, these are people who were taught how to read the Quran from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this is what he says. He says that for me to read a small portion, but to read it properly is more beloved to me. Okay, that's one example. Another example is this. One time, according to Hadith, Imam Qadim alayhi salam, seventh Imam, he asked one of his friends and his companions. He says that, do you wish to stay in this world? Do you wish to stay in this world? And the companion says, yes, I do want to stick around in this world. I want to stay here. I want to be here. So the Imam alayhi salam asks him, why? Why do you want to stay in this world? That companion says, he says that, لِقِرَاءَتِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Why do I want to stick around this world? Because I want to read and I want to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, Surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Now, what sort of connection did this companion have with Surah Al-Ikhlas and Surah Al-Qul Huwallahu Ahad that would make him want to stay in this world just to recite that? Meaning that's the whole reason for existence? That's something that we don't understand. But this is what is recorded in our books. And this is the type of connection people had with the Qur'an. And that's how much delight, that's how much joy they would be given for reciting Surah Al-Qul. This is something for us to ponder upon. Someone like myself, you know, like the delights of food and leisure and, you know, just material pleasures are much more than perhaps the delight of reciting Surah Al-Qul. This is somebody who had worked on himself. He had iman, and that iman would lead to the Quran being a source of guidance and delight for him. The next verse again emphasizes this point where Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأما الذين آمنوا بالله واعتصموا به فسيدخلهم في رحمته منه وفضل ويهديهم إليه صراطا مستقيما. Again, those who have iman, if somebody has iman, then Allah in this verse shows one of the results of having that iman. What kind of iman is it? It's an iman that goes along with i'tisam billah wa'tasamu bihi. I'tisam means to hold fast to something, to cling to something. Allah wants to have the type of us to have a type of iman where at all times in our life we hold fast to Allah. To Allah, meaning to His religion, to His Prophet, to the Ahlul Bayt, to the Qur'an. At all times. It's not that once in a while when we're in need, then we go to that and we hold fast to it. No, at all times, that's the thing I cling to, no matter how much pressure there is. For these people, Allah says that He's going to give them these blessings. This is the result of their iman. Number one, they're going to have special mercy for Him. Number two, they're going to have fadl, bounty. And number three, Allah will guide them. Guide them to whom? Ilayhi. To Himself. So they're going to know what the destination is as well too. Not only are they going to have that guidance, but they're going to know where that guidance is supposed to lead them to. Okay, next verse. In the next verse, Allah describes a second result of iman. What was the first result we talked about? Hidayah, guidance. The second one is the result of nur, of light. This is a famous verse, you probably recognize this verse. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. What is the result? If somebody has true iman, it's that they get taken away from the darknesses, or the folds of darkness, and they get taken towards light, nur. On the other hand, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. They get taken away from the light of the darkness. Who takes them there? It's their awliya. What is a wali? A wali is somebody who is your patron, somebody who is your guardian, somebody who is in the same camp as you are. Those who have Allah as their wali, Allah is on their side. He's always doing things for them, for their sake. He's rooting for them, He's cheering for them, and He's helping them. And they get taken from the darkness of the light. What sort of darkness is this? It's darkness of shock, darkness of doubt, darkness of second guessing, darkness of not being certain about what the truth is, darkness of arrogance. Sometimes we're not sure what to do because we always see our own interests above the interests of Allah. So one of the other results of iman is that we have that nur from Allah. We have that guidance in the form of light. Our thoughts become very clear. We're very certain about what is right and what is wrong. What is an example of this? It comes in the verses right before this in Surah Baqarah, where Allah describes the guidance that was given to some of His prophets. For example, one of them is the prophet Hosea. You probably have heard this story. Allah says regarding Uzair, the prophet, He says that one day Uzair came to this one town where he sees that the people of that town have all died. It's like a ghost town. The only thing left is their bones. So he looks at that and he says that, قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. How can Allah possibly one day bring these dead back to life again? In the resurrection. So then, Allah does the following. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْتَ عَرْمٍ. Allah causes him to die for 100 years. ثُمَّ بَعْثَهُ. He causes him to come to life again. And then He asks him, كَمْ لَبِثْتَ. He says, how long did you sleep for? Because Uzair thinks he just fallen asleep for a short amount of time. So he says that, يَوْمًا أَبَعْدَ يَوْمًا. I slept for a day or a part of a day. Allah tells him, بَلَّ بِفْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. You slept for 100 years. Then He tells him, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنْهُ. Look at your food and drink, we preserved that for you. For 100 years, it's been intact, nothing's gone wrong with it. It's kind of like a McDonald's food. Remember they did this experiment where they took like a burger from McDonald's and then they observed it like for one day, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, and nothing happens to it. It's exactly the same thing. So for 100 years, Allah preserves this food. That's Uzair's food. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. And look at your donkey. Now his donkey, obviously after 100 years, had died. And then Allah, right in front of his eyes, He causes it to come back to life again, to form its flesh again. And then He says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُشِزُهَا. Look at these bones, how we restore them. ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا. How we cause the flesh to come back on the bones. فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. When that became, he saw that, then he saw that, he says that Allah, indeed Allah has power over everything. This is an example of that nur that Allah gives to people who have true iman. That nur is something that after that they see things clearly. That was an example of a prophet. Let me give you an example of somebody by the name of Fayl al-Kashani. Fayl al-Kashani was one of our great scholars. Right? One of the, until today we still refer to his works and still get benefit from his knowledge. He says in his memoirs, he says that I had written a lot of books and treatises. I had done a lot of work, a lot of scholarship. I did a lot of research. But none of them had guided me. None of them gave me what I was looking for. I had this deep thirst inside me for that true knowledge. And I was scared that I was going to die without ever having reached that true knowledge. Then I ran towards Allah. And I asked him for help, and I repented to him, until finally Allah gave me a deep insight into the Quran and the Hadith, and that's where I found what I was looking for. Right? We have examples of these, examples, anecdotes, where people who have been looking for that, Allah gives it to them. Before they were confused. They were confused about it. They didn't have that certainty. But then Allah guides them and gives them that light. Why did they get that? Because of their true iman. These are two of the examples of results of iman from the Quran. Inshallah, we ask Allah that in this month of Ramadan, we want to strengthen our iman. We want to have pure iman. That iman which is not mixed with any doubt, without with any resistance. We ask that type of iman from Allah that has those results that Allah has promised us. The results of hidayah, of guidance towards the path towards Allah. And number two, to that light, where our inner is filled with light, and we no longer have that doubt or confusion, we know exactly where we want to go. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi.